Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The first verse of our gospel lesson appears to be insignificant, but in fact, it's very significant. It says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Now, what this is teaching us is that the Word of God preached and taught by Jesus was attracting and drawing people not only from the ordinary courses of society, but it was also having a positive impression upon open sinners, people who would have never thought to enter a synagogue or to go into the temple, people who were looked at by the rest of society as if they were a pariah. And it was the Word of God taught, proclaimed, and preached by Jesus that was drawing these people to him. So it's important for us to note that Jesus did not have a preference for bad company. You know, that's what a lot of people in modern society think. They think Jesus liked hanging around with the bad guys and the on-the-edge guys in society rather than those stuffy church people. You know, that's how impenitent, wicked sinners comfort themselves with a non-comfort. They think in their minds that Jesus prefers their company to the company of the righteous and the believing, all right? That's a big mistake. Jesus did not receive these sinners. He did not eat with them because he approved of them, nor because he liked their company particularly all that much. His interest and his making himself available to them was for their redemption and salvation. The Father sent his only begotten Son into the world to seek and to save the lost. And these people were lost, and they knew they were lost. Now here's where the trouble comes in the text. The Pharisees and the scribes, often sitting along the sidelines, watching Jesus and looking for every opportunity that they could find in order to find fault with him and to turn people against him, they begin to complain. They are shocked. They are hurt. They are triggered. Why? Because Jesus, this man, they can't even say his name, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You could just feel the triggeredness in them. You know, so being triggered, by the way, wasn't invented in the 20th century. Goofy people throughout the centuries have been triggered and make their own lives miserable by constantly being so. So, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now, the Pharisees were not wrong to disapprove of unbelief and wicked lives. that's not the problem with the Pharisees. When the Pharisees looked at the prostitutes and the tax collectors and all of the other wicked people in society who got their gain doing bad things and encouraging others to do bad things, they were not wrong to censure the bad conduct that they were encountering. Their mistake was, it never dawned on them that these sinners would be the proper objects of the Word of God. It never dawned on them that they should maybe reach out to these people with God's Word and draw them back to the faith with an attitude of mercy and an attitude of thanksgiving. And the reason why this never dawned on them is really very simple. You see, when you are a repentant, believing child of God, you are so thankful that your sins have been forgiven and that God accepts you freely as a gift, that you are delighted and eager to share that with people who need to hear it. But when you are offended at the idea that you are a sinner who needs to be forgiven, when that idea offends you and makes you think, well, not me. I may not be perfect, but I'm a good person, and I deserve God's blessings in my life. I tell you, nobody ever was on a faster route to hell than a person who thinks like that. Now, this was where the Pharisees were at. They saw themselves as being good people, and they saw themselves as deserving God's blessing and approval because of their good works. And therefore, since they merited God's favor by their righteous works, they looked down upon anybody that they judged to not be doing the same. Right? This is very important to grasp this. The Pharisees were not wrong to censure wicked deeds. They were right to do that. The Pharisees were wrong in that they thought that they were worthy of God's blessings. They did not think of themselves as sinners, and therefore when they encountered anybody who was a sinner, they despised them, and instead of inviting them to repentance and to renewal and salvation, they basically just railed against them, judged them, and dismissed them. All right? So here's all the publicans and sinners. Here's the Pharisees. Now, what's Jesus going to say? First thing he says, and to be honest, there are times in the New Testament where Jesus really gets tough on the Pharisees. As a matter of fact, he never gets tougher on anybody than he gets on the Pharisees. All right? You read the Gospels, particularly Matthew chapter 23, Matthew 23, and read that he calls them dead men's bones and whitewashed graves. All right. So anyway, Jesus could be really tough with the Pharisees. Right? But here, he's really kind of gentle because he is thinking just as much about his other hearers. He wants the Pharisees to know what motivates him to receive sinners. But he also wants the sinners to know God's plan of salvation for them. And so, he says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? So you got 100 sheep. Now you know you do this, right? That's what Jesus is saying. You lose one sheep, what are you going to do? You're going to leave the rest, and you're going to go and you're going to search for that sheep until you find it. And when you find it, it's going to be scared, it's going to be isolated, it's going to be skittish, and it's going to be a prey for predators. So when you finally find it, you're going to pick it up, put it on your shoulders, and take it home with you. He doesn't take it back to the 99 in the wilderness. He leaves the 99 in the wilderness, and he carries the lost sheep that has been found. He carries it home with him, and that sheep gets to participate in the communal rejoicing. He calls his friends and his neighbors, and he says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. And so, here you see the mission of the Son of God. He is sent as the Good Shepherd. He is sent as the Lord's Christ into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. So anyone who is lost may rejoice in Jesus, because he came precisely to save you. Now listen, even if you're a seasoned Christian and you've been a Christian for many years, you know that you do not always do what you should do. You know that you often fail the Lord. You know that there are chapters and chapters of the Bible that you leave unread. There are dozens upon dozens of prayers every day that you leave unprayed. You are well aware that for all that God has done for you, your return to the Lord is very meager. And therefore, it is also good news for you and for me in our imperfection, in our slowness of heart, in our weakness. It is good news to be reminded Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What wonderful news. What a comforting message that Jesus seeks and saves the lost, and that includes me. And then he says in verse 7, he says, I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And there, Jesus is giving the Pharisees a nudge. All right? He's giving them a gentle nudge. He's saying, you guys, you think that you're righteous because of your works, and you think that you don't need to repent. And so where do you end up? You end up being left in the wilderness while the lost sheep that was found comes home and enjoys the party. You see that? So there's a little nudge. Heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents more than over 99 people who think that they are just, who think that they are righteous, and that they don't need to repent. They don't bring any joy in heaven. But the one who is found by the grace of God in Christ, that causes heaven to rejoice. So, okay, so that seems sufficient. But Jesus goes on and he doubles down. He takes another parable of the same type. And he says, all right, what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one, doth not light a candle, sweep the house, seek diligently until she find it? Now, what's Jesus referring to here? What's the big deal about a coin? Women often wore coins strung together like jewelry that were part of their dowry, right? And so you'd see a woman with a head covering and she'd have all these coins around the top, and she'd have coins elsewhere on her body. And so these coins would be particularly valuable to the woman who loses a coin. All right, this is not just, oh, I lost a quarter. All right, no, this is something of great significance and great value. Even though other persons wouldn't value it, it is valuable to the person who is the subject of the parable here. So what woman, if she loses one out of 10, does not light a candle? Why? Because there's no windows in a typical first century home, no windows. Therefore, if you're gonna find anything lost, you've gotta light a candle. And you've gotta sweep the house, all right? And the house had dirt floors, most likely, dirt floors, and seek diligently till she find it. Now notice the slight difference. In the first parable, we see the solicitude of the person who seeks the lost sheep. He goes after the sheep, he seeks it till he finds it, and then he puts it on his shoulders and takes it home with him. That's solicitude. Here we see diligence. This woman is diligent. She is going to do everything humanly possible to find that lost coin. And so, when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise," Jesus said, "I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented." So now, if you are a Pharisee listening to Jesus, you have a clearer understanding of just why it is that Jesus gives his time and attention to these nefarious people. He has some kind of cockamamie idea that he's being merciful and bringing salvation to these bums, right? But at least they understand that Jesus is not motivated by a preference for wicked behavior and wicked people, but that Jesus is motivated by a desire to be godly and to reach out with the salvation and mercy of God to these benighted people. if you happen to be in the crowd and you are one of those benighted sinners, you have just received a heart full of comfort. After all that I've done, after all the bad things that I have just tallied up one on top of another for years and years, God has sent his Son to me with mercy, redemption, and salvation, and that God wants me, and that heaven rejoices at my repentance and faith. What a wonderful comfort to the heart it is to know that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Even after St. Paul, decades and decades away from his early life as a persecutor of the church, he took comfort in this. He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But I received mercy." That comforted Paul. When he looked back on his nasty past, he found comfort in the gospel that Jesus sinners doth receive. God grant that we all take comfort in this good news. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.